Incense, Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Praise the Lord, you may be seated. I'm going to guess that probably Tracy doesn't have a Christmas message ready to go yet tonight, but we're headed there, all right. So, Brother Tracy, our associate pastor, you come up and preach what the Lord has laid on your heart tonight. Lord bless you, sir.
Wake me up when it's over. Hi, y'all. When I was a kid, I grew up poor. We had all the things we needed. We just didn't have what everybody else had. And I remember everybody on the whole block got BB guns but me. And I had to wait. And I kept wanting a BB gun, kept asking for a BB gun, kept asking and keeping asking. And 2 years later, I got a pellet gun. And everybody on the block had them Daisy Red Riders, and I had a Crossman pellet gun, and everybody wanted my pellet gun. Everybody was envious of me when I've been envious of them for 2 years. It wasn't long after that I had a .22. It wasn't long after that I had two .22s. It wasn't long after that I had a .410. It wasn't long after that everybody had 20 gauges, and I got a 12. You ever remember the show Father Knows Best?
Yep.
And I tell you something, our Heavenly Father knows best.
Yeah. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father knows what's good for us and what's bad for us.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father knows what we need when we need it.
Amen.
The Bible says that He will supply all of our needs in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus. Can I tell you something? It doesn't say He will give us all of our wants.
Amen.
It doesn't say that He's going to give us a Tiger Stripe Bentley. It doesn't say that every year we're going to get a brand new four-wheel drive V10 truck. It doesn't say any of that.
Amen.
It does say, though, that He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin.
Yeah.
No, nobody could give us that much love. And you know what we say in our dealings with other Christians, that maybe they'll be going through something as well. God's in control. Don't worry about it. God loves you. God, everything's all going to be all right. But when we're going through a trial or tribulation or anything in our lives, it's kind of hard to know that God's in control.
Yeah.
Psalm 27 was written by David, and we went over it several times. But I'm gonna go through. You don't even have to open up your Bible. I just want you to listen to me go through them. Because I'm going to try to go through them quickly. Psalm 27, verse 13 says, I had fainted lest I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What does that mean? David was promised something, wasn't he?
Amen.
David was anointed king of Israel by Samuel when he was a teenager. But and the very next thing you see is David's in the palace, and he's playing the harp for Saul, and everything's going well. And then all of a sudden he gets called back to the farm, and from the farm he goes over there and he sees that Goliath was challenging all of Israel, and nobody would go up. So he went up, he killed Goliath, and he's in the palace again. And he's probably thinking in his mind, you know, this is pretty good, God. You're going to give me the kingdom. The next thing you know, he's running from his life from Saul. Said, I'd faint unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know the hardest thing in our lives that we have to do is wait. None of us like to wait. In this day and time, it's push a button, 2 days later, FedEx or Amazon's going to deliver it. You don't even have to go to the store. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us everything we want?
Amen.
I think my childhood growing up, not having everything I needed at the time, it was very distressful for me. And it was I felt ashamed. But I look back on it now, and I'm very glad of it. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The first time I read, not the first time I read, but I read a devotion one time that talked about being still. So that night, I got in bed, I laid there, and I was going to be still. I was going to get everything out of my mind. At that time, I had like 12 guys in the hallway. I had all kinds of things going on at the farm, had all kinds of doctor's appointments to get these guys to. I was just busy, 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 busy. And I couldn't sit still. I couldn't lay still. I couldn't get any thought out of my head because thoughts kept jumping up in my head. And it was hard for me to be still. It's hard for us to wait. It's hard for us to be still. In Luke 24:49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He's telling that to the disciples after he's been crucified. Can I tell you something? Tarry ye in this city. Why didn't you tell us to tarry in two cities over? Because, see, all the Jews are looking for us in this city. It's going to be hard for us to tarry here. We're scared to death. We're locked in. We're in the upper room. We got the doors locked. They can bust in at any time. It's hard for us to stay here and wait. But Jesus told them to tarry ye in this city, and they did. Acts 1:7 says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in His own power." They was asking Jesus when the kingdom of God was going to come. "When are you going to come back and take over?" He said, It doesn't matter when I'm going to come back and take over. Just know that I am." We hate to wait. But understand that there's a lot of waiting in our lives. God waited 40 years for me. I can wait a couple years on Him, don't you think? I don't know. Every time I hear a testimony of somebody getting saved when they're young, I say, man, I wish I'd have done that. I wish that had been me. He made Abraham wait. He made Moses wait. He made Joseph wait. He made David wait. He made Martha and Mary wait. Why don't you think He's going to make us wait? You see, in that waiting, I believe that there has to be a trust. That there has to be an acknowledgement of us saying, "Lord, I know You know what's best. And I know You might have promised me this, and I know You cannot lie, so I know it's going to happen." In fact, if we look, read in Romans 4 about Abraham, that's exactly what it says. That he believed. That he was strong in faith. Not looking at his own body or Sarah's body, but believing what God said. Can I tell you something? If God promised you something, that's going to happen. He made Elijah wait. He made Elijah wait at the brook. And he showed Elijah that he could take care of him no matter what's going to happen in this world. You know, it says, "Be still." Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And while I'm on Elijah in 1 Kings 19, it says a great he runs away from Jezebel right after he kills all the Baals of all the prophets of Baal and the groves. God does a great mighty thing. He shows all of those people that He is God. And Elijah was there doing it, was there in the midst of it. And then all of a sudden Jezebel tells him something, and he runs away from her. But when he was in a storm. When he's in that cave, a great storm of wind rent the mountains. But the Lord was not in it. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in it. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in it. And after the fire, a still small voice. One of my guys one time, he was just there and he was wanting to go home, so I was in the lounge with him talking to him. I said, all right, I'm going to get you a bus ticket. Everything's going to be fine. So, you know, just chill out. He was kind of making a ruckus. Sent all the guys to the farm. Just me and him in the lounge. I turned on a movie for him. And I sat there and I'm talking to him. And I'm thinking, this guy's not going to stay here. But I'm praying, God, make this guy stay. And we watch a movie. And he says, how does God talk to you? And I said, God can talk to us in many ways. The main way that he talks to us is through his word. He can lay something on our heart. He says, do you think God could talk to us through a movie? I said, oh yeah, he can talk to us through a movie. And he goes, I believe I'm going to stay. Something in that movie moved him. And he stayed. He stayed for about 6 months and left. But can I tell you something? In this day and age where there's all this activity in our lives, that we never have any rest, we're always on the go, there's something for us to do, there's always something for us to listen to, all this other stuff. You know, God still wants to talk to us. He talks to us in a still, small voice. Amen. And we need to be hearing Him. We need to be listening for His voice. You know, there's a lot of times when we are asked to be still, but we can't. Growing up, we had a house at the living room. It was an old house that had been added on to several times. But there's a living room and a kitchen. Then there was a dining room. Then there's a hallway, a bathroom, a bedroom, and then a door that opened up in the kitchen. Well, all the doors were off the house. So we had linoleum floors. And I would walk from that bedroom through the living room, to the kitchen, to the dining room, through that hall, to the bedroom, and I walked a hole in that floor because I could not be still. I was always wanting to go. I would ride horses and I would chew on the reins because there was nothing to do. You know how many reins I went through? I was always needing to do something. You know what? God had something for us to do. And if we're not listening to His voice, I want to talk to you about the guys that I just, and people that I just talked to you about that God told them to wait. He told Abraham to wait. Abraham had to wait 25 years for the promised son. Did Abraham wait? No. No. He told Moses to wait. And then when he said, okay, I want you to come and do this now. And he said, I'm 80 years old. I stutter. I can't do it. I don't know if Joseph would have waited as long as he did, if he wasn't in that prison. If he had the chance to be free, I think he'd have went back to Jacob, don't you think? And he never would have been second command of Egypt. And the famine would have killed his family. You see, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And He knows what's best. He made David wait. And David went and joined the wrong army. He made Martha and Mary wait. And when he got there and saw their disbelief and their hurt and their pain and everybody didn't believe in him, he started crying. One thing I do know, He's going to make us wait. Because He made everybody in the Bible wait. They may be things that, as I get older, you know, some things I just say, you know what, that'll never happen. Always wanted that, but that'll never happen. Ain't never going to happen in my life. And, you know, God says, I'm the God of impossibilities. And I delight to do the impossible. He delights to do the impossible because he gets all the honor and glory out of it. You know, I would love to have some of these new things that they got out. But would the new things that they have out be good for me? Would they really help me out? You know, there's a lot of things that I asked for Santa Claus when I was young. And a lot of things I didn't get, a lot of things I did get. I wished for things to happen in my lifetime that didn't happen, and now I'm so thankful that they didn't happen. I'm so thankful that the first girl I asked to marry, we didn't get married. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God knows what's best for our lives. And sometimes the answer to our prayers is not no. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is not now. I used to do a devo at the village where I said that God is not going to give a brand new Christian who cannot walk the keys to a Corvette because they don't know how to use it. A little baby that's crawling with a rattler in their hands does not know how to drive a Corvette. So God ain't going to give you a Corvette right now. And this is not that God's going to give you a Corvette someday. But he's not going to give you the keys of the car when you don't know how to drive. So sometimes the answer to our prayers is not yet. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is no. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is yes. But God always hears and answers our prayer. You know, I don't know how Mary and Martha felt when they knew if Jesus would show up that their brother would not die. But Jesus didn't show up. But I do know one thing: when Jesus showed up, Lazarus came back to life. I can't tell you how many people that I know that said that they prayed and prayed and prayed for a family member. And 20, 15, 30 years later, God answered their prayer. They had to wait. But God answered their prayer. I can't tell you how many people that prayed for me that never saw me get saved, but their prayers were answered. You see, Father knows best. And if we would just give it to Him and understand that whatever He wants us to do and whatever He says, if He tells us to be still, we ought to try not to fidget as much as we do. And if He tells us to wait, that we don't need to go out and do something on our own. You see, there's a lot of things that are happening in Elijah's life when he was in that cave. But God wasn't in any of them. And a lot of times God tells us to wait and we go out and do something on our own. And we go blindly into the dark. What does the Bible say? Your word is a light into my path. Your word is a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. Well, if we go out without God, we don't have that light. And we're just stumbling blindly in the dark. When God asks us to wait, do we wait? Do we lose heart and say, well, He's not going to do that? Do we act and do something that we should not have done? Because, see, just about everybody in that Bible that I talked about earlier did exactly what one of those things. They went out and acted. Abraham, Sarah goes, hey, this ain't going to work. What you need to do is go to Hagar. David didn't wait, and he went over and joined the Philistines, the enemy of Israel, and started helping them. Turn over to Luke 18, please. You know what? I'm so glad that I didn't get a BB gun. Because if my mom and dad would have bought me a BB gun, they probably would not have bought me a pellet gun. If they had not have bought me a pellet gun, I wouldn't have been so thrilled after waiting for 2 years for that thing. And everybody on the block being envious of me because I had a pellet gun and they had a Daisy Red Rider. You see, it was kind of worth the wait. I'm married today, and I'm here to tell you it was worth the wait. I'm so glad that I don't have to lay in bed at night wondering where my wife is. Or I could go to work and not worry about what my wife's doing. You see, even if God would have brought me the perfect wife before I got saved, it wouldn't have worked. I probably wouldn't even been looking for the perfect wife back then. In Luke 18, it's something that we all are familiar with. I'm reading the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we've heard this and we've done this a million times. But David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see God's grace, God's answer to my prayer, God's promise in the land of the living. You see, David believed that what God told him was going to happen, it was going to happen here on earth. And most of us say, well, you know, God's going to give us all these things, but it's going to be in heaven. It's not going to be in earth because we're going to go through all this trial and tribulation down here and nothing ever good is going to happen to me. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what David said. So David promised me I was going to be king of Israel one day. Saul's hunting me like an animal and I'm stuck in this cave. It'd be easy for David to give up. It'd be easy for us to give up too. And sometimes we may give up. We may say, you know what? God promised me this and it's never going to happen. And God may look down from heaven and start to cry. Then why don't you believe me? Why don't you understand that it's just not time yet? You know, there's times when a child will ask their parent for something and the parents will say no. It's not because they hate the child. Maybe because they don't have enough money for what the child wants. It may be that that child is not old enough or his character is not strong enough to have what he wants at that time. Let that same child say, I'm hungry, and see if he don't get fed, or she get fed. Let that same child ask for anything else and see that they don't get it. But they are so fixed on this one thing that they have to have that the whole world's going to come to an end if they don't get this one thing. I don't know if y'all remember the Cabbage Patch dolls, but people were fighting over them. They were grown people were fighting over them so their kid could have one. Why? When they finally came out Christmas, something else was hot on the list then, and they didn't want the Cabbage Patch dolls then, they wanted something else. We know the story of the unjust judge. But I want to look at verse 8. Actually, I want to look at verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I wonder how many people lost out on what God promised them because they gave up. They quit. One of the best chapels I ever heard at the village was from a young man. It was his last chapel. Things were happening behind the scenes that nobody knew. But all of a sudden they started falling into place and people started finding out about what really happened. And he said, hold on, don't quit. That was his chapel. Right after chapel he quit. If he only understood that God gave him that chapel for him. Not only for the kids, but for also for him. That if he had to quit, that if he'd have just said, you know what, this is what really happened, please forgive me. That everything would have been forgiven. He'd have had a little bit of punishment. And everything would have been all hunky and dory. He left. That young man now is married. He's a youth pastor. And he's doing great things for God. But he didn't wait. You see, he got to go home on a home visit, and he'd been talking to this girl, and they met up, and something happened, and then she told him that she was pregnant when she really wasn't. And everything, all the lies just started to come in, and all of a sudden, he quit to go up there. And he went in and went up there. She told him, I'm not really pregnant. But see, he didn't wait. And so many of our lives are torn, are messed up because we wouldn't wait. If we had just waited, how much better things would have been? How much better things would have been? When we wait on God, we understand that we are blessed. If we're obedient to God, we are blessed. And when God gives us something, we're able to keep it. You see that little baby Christian that was given a Corvette? Would have lost it. Would have got in it one day and drove it into a ditch and wrecked it and never would have got to keep it. When God blesses us with something, He wants us, first of all, to praise Him for the blessing. Thank Him for the blessing. Use the blessing to help others. And to be able to keep that blessing. We grow up wanting these things, demanding these things, and we get them. And that's going to make us happy. And it doesn't make us happy just for a little while. And then we want something else. See, things cannot bring us happiness. They may bring us happiness just for a while, but they cannot bring us joy. God wants to bless us and give us joy. Happiness is circumstance controlled. Joy is I'm going to have joy no matter what's happening in my life. Even as gray-haired people, we don't like to wait. I don't like to wait at a stop sign. I don't like to wait if somebody's driving slow. And the very next day my wife tells me, you're that person that you hate. Why don't you speed up? Because then I'll start driving slow. You see, in this click of a button microwave society that we live in, if we see something we want it, we got to have it. 1,000 years is just one day with the Lord. And when God says, okay, I'm going to answer your prayer, you could have it. In His mind, it's done. It may take a while. It may take a couple of years. Abraham, it only took 25 years for Isaac to come by. David, you was king of Israel, anointed king of Israel when you was a teenager. You became king of Israel when you was 30. Oh, by the way, that's when Jesus started His his ministry. And they tell me you couldn't be a teacher or anything like that until you was 30 if you was Jewish. You can't be the president of the United States unless you're what, 45? You know why? Your brain. Before you're even 25, your brain's still growing and twisting around in there. You don't know what you want. Do you know that most people, when they go to college and they pick a major, I forget the percentage now, but it's astronomical, it's way up there, that they change their major before they graduate college. You know why? Because they have this big idea that this is what I want. And then when they get there and start studying stuff, they're like, wait a minute, I don't want this, I want something else. We can't make up our minds on anything. But God knows what we want and need. And if we wait on Him, we let Him direct our paths, and we won't blindly go out in the dark, and we won't get something that's going to harm us or hurt us. David stayed home when he should have been out at war. All the kings went to battle. I don't think Joab was a king, do you? I think David was the king. And that's when he saw something that he wanted, that he shouldn't have had. You see, there's a lot of things that we want sometimes, that we desire, that if we took them or we had them, would harm us, would keep us from doing what God wants us to do, would keep the blessings of God off our life. But we do them anyway because we want them. And we got to have it. If we would just learn to really trust Him and wait on Him, then the blessing that He would give us would be so great that everybody would want our pellet gun. That everybody would want what we have. That right relationship with God that allows us to get the blessings, that allows us to say, God, whatever you want me to do right now, that's what I'm going to do. And if you tell me to wait, I'm maybe running in place, but I'm not going to leave right now. That if you tell me to be still, I may be fidgeting, I may be turning in bed, but I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to try to be still. If we would just do that when God tells us to be still. If the disciples would not have tarried in Jerusalem, what would have happened? You see, everything in their being said, get out of Jerusalem. But Jesus told them to tarry there. I'm so glad that God made me wait on things. I'm so glad that God taught me when I was growing up that I wasn't going to get everything that I wanted. But I'm so glad now that I have a Heavenly Father, that when I get on my knees and I say, Lord, I want this, that He hears my prayer. And then He may say, okay, you're going to have to wait. Or He may say, okay, not now. Or He may say, no, Tracy, that's not good for you. But whatever His answer may be, that I know that He knows best. And He looking out for my good. Just like if a teenager wanted something and the parent said no, and the teenager threw a fit like a 2-year-old kid, we would say, oh, how childish is that? But can I tell you something? As adults, we do the same thing. God, I really wanted this. God, you promised me this. God, I am not... This is what... You see, this is what we do to God sometimes. And God says, you spoiled brat. And sometimes He cries. because we have no faith and trust in Him at all. We say we do, but we don't. Because our actions show exactly what Mary and Martha said. You let me down. You didn't do what I asked you to do. And my Bible says that He is our Lord. And that we're not His Lord. You see, when I got saved, I thought I had my magic wand, and that's not true. I can't say, Lord, do this, and it gets done. But that's how I treat Him sometimes. But when I come to Him and say, Lord, I really like this. I would love to have that. You know, most of the time, most of my prayers are answered by me just thinking, you know, I'd really like to have that in my mind. And the very next evening, there it is. Or that day, it's there. But I want to tell you something. Every time I get on my knees and ask God for something, He hears that too. And there's a lot of loved ones that I prayed for that got saved. And there's a lot of loved ones I prayed for that haven't been saved. But there's enough that have been saved for me to keep praying for the ones that aren't saved. He's answered enough prayers. He's given me enough things that I haven't got all the things I prayed for. But I still pray for things. But I can tell you something, I pray for more about souls and salvation and the things of God now than I used to. When Jesus comes, is He going to find faith on earth? Are you going to give up praying about something just because He hadn't answered it in a couple years? You see, I wonder if Abraham would have waited. I wonder what the Middle East would look like now. There would be no Ishmael. There would be no Arabs. What the Middle East would look like if Abraham just would have waited. I want to ask you a question. If God tells you to wait, would you wait on Him? Would you be still? Would you tarry? Because He asks us to do that all the time. But we rush out because it's Black Friday. And we're going to get this no matter what. Even though He's going to give it to us later, we want it now. And that's a weird illustration. But it's what we do. Let's learn to be still. Let's learn to really trust Him. Let's really go to Him and ask Him for things. And ask Him for direction. And ask Him what He wants us to do. Because He knows best. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You do know best. I thank You that You love us enough that You gave us Your Son. And if You loved us enough to give Your Son, how much more will You give us all things? The Bible says, ask and you shall have. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And sometimes we forget all that and we just go see what the sale's about. Lord, I pray that we would learn to trust You more. Learn to pray more. Learn to wait more and learn to be still more so that when You bless us that everybody would see that we have a loving Father in heaven that gives us all things. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Trust and obey. I like that. That fits right in with that theme. 325, is that what it is? All right, let's make that our invitation. Let's stand tonight. Shane, appreciate again the message from God's Word. When we walk with the Lord,